Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. We are back for podcast number 195, and this is all about checking sources and understanding bias. I bring this up because right now we are seeing a lot of misinformation, and I've talked about this before, but we are in a point of time where information is incredibly easy to access. Thanks to the internet and other sources, we are able to consume information more quickly than the time we actually have to process and vet that information. We also have the convenience to easily and rapidly share information, whether that's just hitting the share button on Facebook, the retweet button on Twitter, or any other method. We can tout information without having to look at it. And unfortunately, I've seen people who literally do this because they say that other people will vet it for them. And we'll talk about that more here momentarily, but we're in a crisis from a pandemic. And we have a very dangerous situation where misinformation, rumors, and bias can play a major part in hurting ourselves, our loved ones, and the world as a whole. Which is why, again, although I've done similar podcasts in the past, I am rehashing this and bringing up more points to talk about in this. This is a subject that's been difficult for me to approach, and I've been debating how to talk about this and whether to talk about it at all. And while I was covering the pandemic early on, one of my early posts, podcast number 190, which was published on March 10th, discussed the importance of flattening the curve. And in the following week, I took a Facebook post of mine and added it to that. So that was March 17th. And I did that to help draw some specific points and to help kind of draw further attention to certain things. One of those things is something I want to read to you as a quote, because remember, this is dated from March 17th, so this has been almost a whole month that has passed, and I find this even more relevant today. Quote, "If things go according to plan, you probably won't realize how well this all worked and think this was all overkill. Think epidemiologists, public health servants, medical professionals, and scientists who have been working tirelessly to help come up with the best solutions." End quote. Unfortunately, there have been many things that have changed over the last month. Politics, religion, personal opinion, and fear have all gotten in the way of logic and science. Something that should unite us, a pandemic threatening to kill millions if left unchecked, led to initial unity, but then quickly went away as the situation started to improve. And over the last month, that separation has intensified. We hear more and more about people wanting to go back to their regular activities, their regular lives, which is, of course, something we all strive for. We all want to be able to go back to a reality that is more normal to what we have experienced in the past. And instead, we have to accept and have to acknowledge the fact that things have rapidly changed, and in some ways, they have permanently changed. But rather than embrace that, we start looking for other alternatives. We want to go back to things that we know or think we know and have the support there for that. And unfortunately, that leads to a lot of misinformation and bias, and we get our own personal opinions, politics, again, religion, and just fear pulling us away from what is true. So we've talked about misinformation before back on podcast number 69. It's worth checking out again. And then, like I said, in podcast number 193, we talked about some specific COVID-19 issues. A couple of podcasts later from 193 and a couple of weeks later, the concerns of ibuprofen have dissipated and it has now been replaced by even bigger fears and concerns. And there are countless rumors and information bias that have drastically been increasing in both size and significance. And what we run into now is that there is so much information out there, it's hard to know what is true and what is not. And unfortunately, if that's true for someone who's a scientist or a medical professional to be able to filter through all this, the average person truly has no way of trying to figure this out. And in previous podcasts, we've encouraged the process of fact-checking before sharing information and to realize that the media, both news networks and social media, can get ahead of itself and share information before it has been fully vetted. There are countless theories and ideas out there. Ones may pass face value to the bizarre and to the outright wrong. All of them are being shared. Every day when I log on to social media sites or when I pay attention to the news, I see the constant issues that arise from when people get ahead of the actual information. And so what we see is that information moves so quickly without the proper checks and balances in place that we miss what we usually find in academia and science, where we have the scientific method to help support us and help fact check and look into seeing what is true, what is correct. And so instead, what we're losing is having a way to vet this information and making sure that what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're thinking is indeed correct. People are most likely doing this not because they believe that they're doing something wrong, but because they truly believe that what they are doing is best. However, in some cases, it means publishing data that has not been peer-reviewed yet when it normally would have been peer-reviewed before being published in a major medical journal. And I've seen this now a couple of times where we have seen articles published way too quickly because they aren't actually even properly published yet. It's just information that has gotten out there and has been leaked because someone along the way thought this was a good idea and that they should share the information ahead of time. But what we lose is that peer review process and those checks and balances in place to make sure that the information that will go out is indeed factual. And as a result, we're seeing articles being withdrawn before they ever get published in the first place, which means that who knows in some cases what is correct. And that's why when I talked earlier on, I was talking about how we were going to avoid talking about specific treatments because I still don't even know what is going to be best. But what I can tell you is that I know this can cause harm and I want to avoid causing harm. So I am waiting for the appropriate information. I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to accept things as alternatives and treatment methods. But what we have to realize is that we're moving so quickly in a condition that while we do feel like we need to move at a speed, what we're risking is hurting more people in the process. We don't know the impacts of some of these things. And as we've talked about in the past as well, is that there are medications that we have studied before, such as Zygris and sepsis, which initially had very positive outcomes. But once we had bigger trials and ones that were controlled, find out that this is no longer the case. And so some of these videos and the individuals on them, they seem like they have the appropriate training and background, may even have the appropriate credentials in place, but they carry their own bias. And so we have to be able to fact check them. We have to be able to look into this more before we start sharing information because many people won't do that. So if you're listening to this, I hope you're one of the people who will fact check something. Even if that's me, I'm fine with that. I include citations and sources on everything that I post. So we have to recognize our biases and not feed into them. I know I carry certain biases, and I accept that. I acknowledge that. And what I do is that I ask myself a series of questions. And I think there are ones that you should be asking yourself right now, too. First, ask yourself right now what you believe is going on and what you think you know about COVID-19. Why do you believe this? How would you try to investigate if that belief is correct? And how would you look for information to try and disprove yourself? The last one may surprise you, but this is part of the process of truly researching something. And I do want to dive into research here for just a quick second as a bit of a rant and a tangent. But research is not simply watching videos or asking a couple of people who you think may be experts in something or reading articles. Even reading peer-reviewed journal articles is not enough. Statistics can be altered in a number of ways, with one classic example being Andrew Wakefield and vaccinations. But we see this as well with even research that's going on right now and data that's already been published, where some statistical shenanigans, I won't use the other word that my friend Jeff Jarvis uses, but some statistical shenanigans going on that manages to manipulate data in a way that has an inherent bias to it that can be easily missed if we're not looking for it. And so part of research is actually scrutinizing the actual research and articles that are published and really trying to go through a scientific approach about how to do this. Now, this is very challenging and time-consuming, which is why most people don't do it. But as a result, they take things at face value that can be very dangerous. And in medicine, to truly research something, because people talk about this all the time, you need to understand the science of it, which includes understanding anatomy and physiology, pathophysiology, and again, statistics. Knowing how to be able to read data appropriately and knowing how to understand a paper and be able to investigate it in your own right to make sure that what is being published is accurate and seeing the potential pitfalls as well as the pearls with it. So what does this all mean? Why should we check our sources? Why do we wait rather than listen to someone who claims to have answers and sounds intelligent? How do we move forward? Listen. Listen to trusted resources. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And if it doesn't pass the sniff test, you should highly question it. This is not the time to jump ahead and ignore the scientific method. We have a chance to help many people and save lives, but at the same time, we have a real chance of hurting them and costing lives. And what I see right now is people jumping onto therapies that haven't yet been proven. They haven't even made it past the trials. And yet that's what we're jumping for because we need hope. We need something. And at a time like this, when we lose control, we want to get that control back, even if it means going to something that isn't actually proven. So we have to accept that we do not know everything. This has been the most complex and confusing disease process that I have ever learned. And I can only imagine what it's been like in other times of history, such as with the plague or even more recently with HIV/AIDS when it first occurred. And listening to people's stories who have experienced that and were medical professionals at the time and how they felt with what was going on. There's so much that we don't know about COVID-19 in particular that has led to people grasping at straws, and it's a very dangerous place to be in. We have to work hard to avoid this. So there are different ways of how to spot misinformation, fake news, however you want to call it. We have to consider the source. We have to read beyond just the titles and actually go into the articles themselves. We have to check the authors, look for the supporting sources by clicking on those links and going through and reading them as well. Looking at the dates sometimes, because things are published way in the past and are no longer held true, but they get republished in a way that makes it sound like it is current and relevant. We also have to keep in mind that there are, you know, articles that are satire. And then we have to check our own biases, like I talked about, and also ask experts. Ask people who really are extremely knowledgeable and well-vetted in this process. You may be asking yourself, what are some trusted resources? There are some traditional ones out there like the CDC and the WHO. And I understand that some people may have reservations with these right now, and I completely get that. But there are some other online sources that I find to be very reputable and have basically proven themselves to be a reliable resource with minimal to no bias in them. That includes the Internet Book of Critical Care, Rebel EM, and Foamcast. I encourage you to check them because they're all providing relevant updates and they're staying up to date with the information. I know this may in some ways feel like a bit of a rant, and it's meant to be because I had really debated if I even wanted to bring this up, but I'm hoping that some of you listening to this will at least take the time maybe from here forward to actually kind of help fact check your information, make sure that you're not spreading something that's false or inaccurate or maybe is altered. We have to question the bias behind it, even our own personal bias moving forward, because when we share and propagate information too quickly, we are risking hurting people, including ourselves and our loved ones. I hope you find this beneficial, and until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.